Our subject is indeed a mind eye deeper. And I want to use, if I may, as my theme text, words taken from the book of Job, chapter 28, verses 1 through 3. I'm just going to read those from the King James Version. Job 28, 1 to 3. Surely there is a vein for silver and a place for gold. Where they find it, iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. But brethren, before I get into my thoughts on this theme verse and on these verses, I wish to share some expressions or thoughts that came to my mind as I was planning and was in anticipation, as I know you were in anticipation, about coming to this convention. My thoughts turned to past experiences in this area of the country. Brother George Aldridge used to say, he's going back to his Bethel. I was partially raised in this area, of course, of western Pennsylvania. And so I'm looking at past experiences in this area of the country. It's not done for just reminiscence purposes, but I thought of the blessings that I received from my grandparents on their farm about 12 miles away from here, outside of a small town. The happy times that we spent there with my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, working, playing, and enjoying each other. Now, I'm going to ask you to picture in your minds, if you would, this scene. The fields of grain and hay swaying gently in the breeze. The rows of vegetables by a way of which always seemed to be in the need of cultivating or hoeing. And as a young child, they looked endless. So picture in your mind that this scene. The fruit trees, after lying dormant through the hard winters with 20-foot snowdrifts, not uncommon in this area, would in the spring burst out in a colorful array with fragrant blooms that filled the air with a sweet aroma. Can you smell those blossoms? The sweet aroma. And as summer wore on, they would give and gave way to fall. They would yield their abundance of fruit, the cherries, apples, plums, pears, and peaches. And also, we realize that this sacrifice that we make comes out as a sweet aroma to God. It's pleasing. He smells it, and it's pleasing to Him. We'll touch on that perhaps more later. Also on the farm, there was a spring house in which long troughs would fill with cold water. My grandfather would store the huge milk cans, which I was unable to lift at that time, but he would keep them there to have that milk fresh to be used later, or until perhaps it would be taken to town to be sold. And brethren, I'm thinking of an analogy here. Seems fitting. Isn't it important for us to preserve the pure milk of the Word? 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. So that we can draw and build upon those basic truths contained in this water of truth, the deeper water. And we as children would often enter into that spring house to cool off on a hot summer day. And we would take a drink from that cool, refreshing water that we knew would always be there because that spring was deep. Sometimes springs up further on the hill would dry out, but that spring would always be fresh and cool and pure. I couldn't help but think of applications that there are in this to the beauties of God's creation and all of the things that He put on this earth for mankind to enjoy, would certainly do pale in comparison to the beauties which will exist for all on a restored, perfect earth, when the earth shall yield her increase, Psalm 67, verse 6. and I mentioned this cool, refreshing water, did you think immediately about the water of truth? And perhaps you thought of the words from the 23rd Psalm. By the still waters. Again, not stagnant waters, deep, cool, refreshing waters that we desire to partake of. And just as we did when we were children on that farm, we now as children of God know that in this water of truth, we can always find refreshment. When we travel in this dry and thirsty land, we have come to realize that there's no other source of refreshment for us. And so as we were drawn to that place, we are drawn to His holy word, found in the scriptures, which also contain, as we know, His great and precious promises as cold water to a thirsty soul. Proverbs 25:25. It also reminds me of another aspect of God's plan. It is the resurrection of the dead. To show to us when the dormant trees would come back to life, as I mentioned, after sleeping in the winter, blossoming in the spring under that warming sun, and then bearing fruit. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His beams or in His wings, and brings healing to the world of mankind, which they are so sorely in need of. John 5:25. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, the Son of Man, and they shall hear and live. And there's an important aspect that I want to bring out here that I know you thought about. Mentioned in this verse, they that hear. We realize that while all shall be awakened from the sleep of death, the full aspect to be awakened will be realized when those, after being given that ability to hear, to obey His voice, Acts 3:22, will then comprehend, understand, and have that opportunity to enter an everlasting life on this earth. After they have proceeded up that highway of holiness and tested, and after passing that test of obedience, they will then obtain the true perfection of mind and body with which the Heavenly Father desires for them to achieve. Now some hear the voice of the Son of Man now. You, brethren, have heard that voice. You have had a thirst for the pure water of the Word of God. And you live through justification of faith. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The dead in Christ, those of the church already dead, who passed beyond the veil, and those reckoned as dying with Christ the Redeemer, and then those who were raised together as spirit beings in heaven. So we, brethren, are also dead. You are reckoned as being dead. And your life is what? It's hid with Christ Jesus, the Anointed One. Colossians 3:3. But because we have put on Christ, we have the opportunity to walk in newness of life, being buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, 1 Corinthians 12:3, all baptized into one body. In the future, after wiping away all the tears from their eyes, the words from Revelation 21:6 come in to play. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It's there for the taking. Again, mankind's going to be drawn to it, just as we, as children of God, and as children in a literal sense, were drawn to that cool water that we knew would refresh us. There will come those who are thirst to take of that fountain of water of life. It will be a reality. It's done through the work of the glorified Christ, head and body. And then the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him partake of that water of life. Revelation 22:17. The glorified joint heirs in the Spirit of Atonement, through the Holy Spirit, partook of that water of life and truth. And then they say to the world of mankind, come. Come and obey Christ. Remember, you're being looked at, eventually, we've heard it expressed, living epistles, known and read of men. You followed God's Son's pattern for everlasting life. They follow the pattern of the Christ head and body to everlasting life. Obey and receive eternal life through obedience to the truth, the Word of God, and by divine favor. Now let's go back to our scene and description of the farm life. To accomplish all the tasks on the farm required much work and effort, so that again the trees that were there would yield their fruit, the best fruit possible, and the crops would be grown to fully ripened conditions at the time of harvest. Some of the harvest would be kept for seed grain, including, you know what a root cellar is? All right, it was a place where you could store potatoes used for seed in the future, sometimes onions and so forth. Stored in that root cellar. So the Heavenly Father has stored for us the finest of the wheat in His storehouse. He's kept it for us to enjoy throughout our lives. Psalm 147, verse 14. Psalm 147, verse 14. Again, some of it to be used now. Some of it to be used to strengthen us who are in need of strength, in need of nourishment in a future time. We've all heard expressions and analogies that have been made concerning the great care taken by the master of the vineyard for the pruning that needed to be done so that the best, fullest, and sweetest fruit could be harvested. And we want to be of that best, sweetest, and fullest fruit to be harvested. We're walking in the Lord's footsteps. It's our desire to be close to God and be submissive to these prunings and shapings. So we must grow. We must blossom and bear fruit. And to us, an important aspect is to remember is found in Hebrews 12:11. Hebrews 12:11. That ye yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. So our trials, our testings, that those of the faithful or household of faith must endure so that they can bear that best fruit. And one day, if faithful, be called the trees of righteousness. The planting in heaven beside that clear water that flows from out the throne. Isaiah 61:3. The planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. So everything we do in our lives is to give glory to God. So brethren, think about that prospect. He has called us. He has chosen us out of the world to be His royal own. He has given each of us an opportunity to be grown, to be matured, being watered and nourished by the grace of God through His promises and through His holy word. It is the Bible, which I heard recently expressed, it's life's instruction manual. Knowing that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable or sufficient for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, to literally bring us up and establish us along that right path. For instruction in righteousness. And that's in the holy things. The things of the new creature development. The new mind. The mind of Christ. Once again, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It is the guide which leads us to a mind eye deeper to. Because these holy writings, including the teachings of our Lord Jesus, especially the apostles, the prophets, prophecies being fulfilled, are the only authorities which were chosen by God. Not man, not someone who appoints himself as a minister or a prophet as we see in nominal Christendom today. This word of God is the message of truth that liveth and it abideth forever. So as we continue to develop the thoughts concerning our theme, along with raising a family and working on a farm, my grandfather started out as a coal miner. As you might realize, there are numerous coal mines that was mentioned by Brother Bob in this area. And the coal taken from these mines literally helped to fuel the fires of the Industrial Revolution. It was hard work. And the miners would come to learn the need for working together and to depend upon each other to get their jobs done and to reach their daily goals. Hopefully, if time permits, I'm going to touch on that more as we go on. Now, he was a strong man, but at the same time, he was loving and kind. He was always willing to show me how to do things. He was so patient with me as I was learning. Again, our Father is patient with us as we are learning. He shows us the path, but then we have to take that effort to make that those things our own. And so aren't we blessed to have this family arrangement and to have this opportunity to learn from our grandparents and our parents that they, in their desire to serve God and to walk in a way pleasing to Him, they help to show to us the importance of the Heavenly Father's teachings and of His leadings. They taught us to have a high set of moral values and to live up to those values as taught in the Scriptures. And by example, they taught us how to lead our own lives in a way pleasing to the Father. That was their desire. You know, my grandparents on both sides of the family, the one I'm speaking about now, my mother's side of the family, they came seeking a better life, and what they found could not be compared to anything that this earth has to offer. They came here seeking a better life, and they found Christ Jesus. They found God's truth. They found the way to make a consecration to the Lord. And they did that. Part of the main idea can be found in the words, "For me and my house we shall serve the Lord." They put away the false teachings of nominal Christendom to walk the narrow way and the new and living way. Now, brethren, I realize that not all of us have had the privilege of coming from families whose parents and grandparents, again, both all my grandparents were consecrated footstep followers. So all of our family members, again, are not running for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. However, all of us have had someone who played a pivotal role in our lives, who affected our lives, roles as teachers, mentors, and guides to help us to bring us to where we are now and who we are at this moment. As we mentioned, brethren, some of us do not have the opportunity in the past to have consecrated members, but helping us prepare us to be members of a new family, a strong character. But someone affected us. Now, you are now, though, part of a consecrated family of God. No matter what your background was before, you put away the things of the past, and you're walking in this newness of life. You are part of this family. Each member of this new family, the body of Christ, has been called and selected through God and through His guiding hand. So each of us, as we look around here in the room today, this is your family. You're seeing members of your family, the Lord's family, each one desiring to give their little all in service to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Isn't that our goal? You came here seeking refreshment and nourishment. That wellspring is here. You're going to find it in God's Word of Truth. You're going to find it in the expressions that we have. This is our theme text. That Word of Christ dwells richly in you. Just as in the case with our family members, as we brought to your attention, my grandfather and my grandfather on my dad's side also started out as a coal miner. And being members of a team in which each member, again, had to work together to help that team as a whole, they had to depend upon each other as they were working. Because their work, the work that they were doing was done under very harsh and adverse conditions. The work was dangerous, for often there was great personal risk involved with the completion of that goal of mining or removing the mineral that they were seeking from the ground. And we are also so commissioned in our work to heed the words. Again, they depended upon each other. They worked together. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do what I command you to do. John 15:13. Again, you're commanded to do that, but you do it willingly. My grandfather knew that the work was hard, but he went daily because he was supporting his family. We know the work's hard, but we daily get up and we strive to serve Him, because what are we doing? We're supporting our family members that we see around about us, our true yoke fellows with which we are accomplishing the great work set before us. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 tells us we are to esteem them in love for their work. We realize, brethren, that we cannot complete the calling and election for each other. But we can and we must be supportive of the efforts of one another. We are told to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I can remember my grandfather saying someday someone would come into work in the mine and they're a little bit tired or they didn't feel well. And so he would do a little extra work to shovel coal into their wagon to be taken out, because you had to meet a quota. And when you shoveled that coal into the wagon, you put a little brass clip on it. And that was your wagon. You filled it. And sometimes he would put the other man's clip on his wagon. Hard work. Do you look for glory and praise amongst men? No. You're supportive, you're understanding of the frailties and imperfections of another. So you bear another's burdens and so fulfill that law of Christ. Let a man and let every man pursue his own work, but let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Galatians 6:2-6. We're to seek to help to each other with that sympathy. It's a sincere sympathy and counsel to fulfill that law of love. And at the same time, we are to seek and to find out our own weaknesses, our character flaws, or perhaps the things that stand in the way of progressing in a manner pleasing to the Father. And then part of our work is to remove or work on improving the things that we see we are in need of improving . Each has a personal responsibility to make his calling and election sure. Again, to work out his salvation with fear or reverence for God and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Each of us realizing the seriousness of what we are and what we need to be doing. As we continue to look at our theme text, brethren, from Job 28:1-3, there's a vein for silver and a place for gold. The margin in the King James Version and also renders it a mine. So a mine for silver, a place for gold. The NASB and the NIV mention the thought of being lowered into the darkness. So a summary of this chapter 28 of Job would involve the thought that there is a knowledge of natural things. In two verses, verse 12 and verse 20, of Job 28. The same question is asked, but where shall wisdom be found? And another question, and where is the place of understanding? Now we know the answer to this question, realizing that wisdom is the principal thing. It involves spiritual understanding. The wisdom from above, which is first pure, James 3:17. Colossians 2:3. So James 3:17 and now Colossians 2:3. Unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what are some of the things, though, that we mine? We mentioned wisdom and understanding. Some of the things that we mine from this vein, from this area that we're working in, just a couple, I'm sure you have a list, I just wanted to mention a few. The truth about that there is one true and living God, His only begotten Son, the pre-human existence as the Logos, sin entering the world, the permission of evil, the ransom, restitution, blessings that come to all the families of the earth, a people called out for His name, the bride class, a little flock, our Lord's first advent, the restoration of Israel, you saw beautifully portrayed last night in singing, two salvations, the narrow way, the broad way of destruction, the heavenly reward, the divine nature, the earth abideth forever. These are some gems of truth that we have been working at to mine. And we want to keep doing that and make those things our own each day that we're permitted to go on. So this wisdom comes from above, the wisdom, the treasures of knowledge, wisdom or understanding of spiritual things. It's an excellent gift from God. It helps us to seek it through His Son. He helps us. 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ, the power and wisdom of God. Remember, brethren, that we have been encouraged by our Lord Jesus. Seek, and ye shall find. Luke 11:9. Those words imply to us an effort involved in obtaining those precious things that we are seeking. We are to pray for help to find this understanding. Psalm 119:169. O Lord, give me the understanding according to Thy word. Let my supplication come before Thee. And Ecclesiastes 1:13. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom, and by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. We're not going to know all the plans and purposes of God, but we give our hearts to Him, and we give praise and glory and honor and all respect and all reverence. So again, brethren, while each of us have made that personal consecration, we are striving to seek the word of truth and to make progress along this narrow way. We realize that we are not going along this way alone. Let us go back and consider a few thoughts concerning being part of that team. Again, there was a group, a shift of coal miners, those who were seeking to work in the mine. I was thinking about, again, us as seeking to mine the precious gems of truth. We are also a very important part of a team. Each one was and is concerned and looking out for the welfare of one another, as we mentioned. It's so important because, as we said, there are great dangers that exist in the darkness and depth of the mind that could cause us harm. And for this reason, pillars of support are placed to hold up what is referred to as the roof in the coal mine. Again, I feel that our pillars of support can be looked at as being our Father's precious promises. I also think that these pillars have been referred to in our studies as our Lord Jesus and the apostles. Luke 6:48. Because a man dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when perils came, and the house then could not be shaken. Now when you're under the ground, maybe a mile, or you're back, I know one of my uncles worked in a mine. He rode an hour to get to the workplace. How many would like to do that? He rode an hour before he could even start to work. Just think how far underground he was. So you rely on these things of God. You rely on the foundation, and you better have a strong pillar of support if you are to be sustained. Again, we have the Heavenly Father and His Son, the Holy Word, this Bible that we have, the precious gems of truth that are contained in it. So we also realize that these dear ones held up the word of truth. It made it possible for us to seek more of the precious gems that could be found, to earnestly seek them. And we, brethren, have known in our lifetimes many of our dear ones, especially the pastor, who faithfully explored the scriptures, searching out even greater or deeper things for our benefit. We study him today. Over 100 years later, he upheld God's word and plan even when faced with great adversity from those in the churches who thought to condemn those writings. So we are to be thankful for these dear ones, and I believe we can find this expressed in the words, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, let your requests be made known unto God. We're thankful for the ones that have gone this way before. We're thankful for those that are walking with now. That's brought out in Ephesians 6:18. This really involves an earnest entreating and a spirit of deep appreciation for what we are doing concerning the needs of the new creature. Giving thanks, brethren, and making mention of our brethren in prayer. So by watching thereunto, we must have an attitude of mental alertness. As you're mining, as you're working, you have to be mentally alert. Your new mind has to be strong. You're waiting on the Lord. We belong to the Lord. Silver and gold is mine, 1 Kings 20, verse 3. And two places in Psalms 12:6 and Psalm 66:10. As silver is tried with fire. We're being tried. The things of the character development that we are mining are being tried and tested and looked at. We also read in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for anything. Be not anxious for anything or burden with or full of care. Luke 12:22, take no thought, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Again, open up your heart to God. Have this wonderful communion, and this will lead to peace, the peace of God. And we all know, brethren, that communion with God is indeed a great privilege. Let us never take for granted this privilege of being called by the Father and walking in the Lord's footsteps. It also entails or brings with it a great responsibility. Remember the words from Luke 12:48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. It's our desire then to search the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. In Psalm 95:4, we are told, in his hand are the deep places. We again must put forth an effort. And then through the Holy Spirit or mind of God, we can be fitted, we can be prepared for having our minds enabled to comprehend his plan. Now, brethren, just as a miner had to do when mining, whether it be the coal, the precious gems, gold, silver, much work would be involved in digging out or removing the refuse. It's not all what you're seeking. There's an overburden. There are things that cover up what is being sought after. The undesirable things that would hide or surround this treasure. As each one of us digs this precious word of God, which will one day, if faithful, lead to glory and honor and immortality, we are again reminded that we must remove or rid ourselves of the character flaws that stand in the way of reaching our goal. Another part of this is shown in studying to show yourselves approved unto God as a workman. We have been told in 1 Corinthians 4:12, labor and work with our hands. And so if we do this and being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. The work that is undertaken, again, is hard. It's not understood by the world. There are times when we are physically beaten down, misrepresented, misunderstood, sometimes slandered. But we rejoice when we endure these things, for great is our reward in heaven. We have these trials and experiences, and we labor, we're working with the goal of seeking and holding on to those precious gems of truth. As workers, we're to be humble, sober, vigilant, resisting the adversary, steadfast unto the end. 1 Peter 5:6-10. Now, brethren, because God will then, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. So don't we see an urgency to our labor? As hard as we can, in the words from Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, doeth with all thy might. There's no work, nor device, nor knowledge in the grave whither thou goest. The time for our work is now. Ephesians 4:28. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good. We are to labor in faith, seeking again the things of God. It's a requirement or part of our reasonable service. It's referred to as presenting our bodies a living sacrifice again. It involves not being conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those things keep us strong. So this is our work. And if any would not work, neither should he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So just as a miner needed to be nourished, if he does not labor, he will not be able to partake of the nourishment that the Father offers or supplies. And this is referred to in our lives as partaking again of that finest of the wheat. Psalm 147:14. I can remember my grandfather taking a lunch bucket. Maybe some of us have never seen a lunch bucket, but it was silver, metal, aluminum, tin, what have you. And in one area he would keep his food, and the other area he would keep his water. Again, it's important of having that water with us. He's going to provide nourishment, but we have to have that water with us because we don't know when we're going to have to draw upon it. And in a mine, so he had to carry that bucket with him, besides going a great distance and doing the work. There's water in a mine. It's not the water you want to partake of. It's not the type of water we're seeking or we desire it. It is a reference to the world has nothing for us to offer. Nothing for us to offer. Nor we desire those things. But the water, the pure water, the Word of God refreshes us, nourishes us, keeps us vital. It will strengthen us to dig deeper and to search, to study those things that we learn from the Father as obedient sons. Recall the experience of Paul and Silas at Berea, in that many had received the word of God with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Acts 17:14. They searched the hidden, the obscure things. And they required mining and study. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Psalm 25:14. Again, we take up our tools for study and we never lay them down. We partake of that water of truth and we never stray from it. And if we're out in that dry and thirsty land, we take that water with us to vitalize us. Understanding the deep things of God, again, requires much work to those who have entered in this covenant relationship by the Lord. Now, brethren, going back to our text briefly as we wrap up our comments, remember we talked about being lowered into darkness. Now, perhaps not many of us have been physically down in a coal mine. I didn't really work in a coal mine, although I helped my cousins who were dear to me. in the mine several times, so I've been in there. The darkness is severe. You can't see anything. So light must be brought in or supplied. And doesn't it sound familiar to us? Although you haven't been in a physically in a coal mine, you've been out in the world of darkness. The light that you have comes from God, but you have to keep it with you. Take heed that you have the sure word of prophecy, whereunto other you dwell, that as unto a light shining in a dark place. 2 Peter 1:19. Walk as children of light. Christ shall give thee light. He's the light of the world. John 9:5. In him there is no darkness. He desires for us to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. And brethren, as a miner, we must follow that precious vein of truth, no matter where it leads us. No matter what hard work, trials, testing, experiences that are involved, we must follow that vein. The gems of truth contained in His holy word. That I may win Christ. We rid ourselves of misapplications, misinterpretations, the creeds and doctrines of men, the allurements of the world. That we're going after the finest of gold, the divine nature, Revelation 3:18. It requires a life of sacrifice and giving our all, and eventually, even our life itself. So, brethren, let us go on, purifying unto Himself, again, as God said, a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. And we are to build upon the foundation that was laid by Jesus Christ with gold, silver, precious stones, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 14. Remember that if any man's work abide which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. We are also to be willing to provide love, help, comfort, sympathy, support, and prayers with the aim of uplifting our co-workers. So we wish to close with the thoughts with the words such as this. I tell me not of gold or treasure, of pomp and beauty here on earth. There's not a thing that gives me pleasure of all this world's displays of worth. My goal is Christ and Christ alone. So brethren, 'tis a mine I deeper to than can mortal ever go. Search we may for many years, still some new rich gem appears. Amen.